I'm stealing catchphrases now because saludos, program. And welcome to another rendition of the Cleanup Crew Review, your weekly AEW Rampage review team. I am El Jefe himself, Mikey, and joining me as always, and it's been a hot minute since we've been together for a review, El Buntador the Second himself, the nerdy Puerto Rican. You know him, you love him, Adolfo. Good evening, my friend. I'm so happy to have you here.
It is nice to be back, yes. Saludos, programas. It's good to be back. Going to be talking some AEW Rampage. We'll get a little Tony Storm action in there.
We're going to save Tony Storm for tomorrow's review because she is fantastic. But
yeah,
we're here for, you know what? We're here for a Rampage that on paper, I was like, okay, it's probably going to be serviceable. And then I was just like, okay, I may actually have enjoyed this Rampage a lot more after I got done watching it.
Yes. Yes. When I saw the matches on paper, I was like, haven't we seen a bunch of these matches already? But then like watching the show, it was very entertaining. So kudos to the performers, kudos to the wrestlers on this AEW Rampage. It was especially after Revolution, picking up, getting that baton and keeping it going. So, but let's get into it, Mikey.
Yes. So Rampage opens up this week. We have a tag team match that sees Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta, so best friend faction, taking on Kip Sabian and The Butcher with The Blade at ringside for this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. A very injured Orange Cassidy, by the way.
Yeah, Orange is coming off of the last couple of weeks of not only having banger matches defending his AEW international championship, but also being jumped by the Undisputed Kingdom. And so Orange Cassidy is coming off of losing the title to Roderick Strong at Revolution. And so this is his first match post losing that title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Orange Cassidy was feeling the effects of having all those matches before Revolution.
Yeah.
As far as the match itself goes, I always say this anytime Kip Sabian is on my television screen. I'm like, I want more of him. He's so good. And I'm like, because Blade is out on injury, I'm assuming, or he can't compete 100% yet.
Yeah.
I can never keep up of who's injured and who's not in AEW, but Kip Sabian teamed up with Dr. Eggman himself in The Butcher.
The Butcher.
With his walrus mustache going.
Yep. Yep, I wouldn't know anything about that. But yeah, it was a good match. It's funny you say that about Kip Sabian, because every time I see like his photo or his graphic, I'm like, but then when I see him in the ring, I'm like, he's really good, man. He tells a good story. He does great sells. Of course, he's super maneuverable. I feel like he's one of, outside of the luchador contingent, if you will, he's one of the more agile wrestlers on the AEW roster. The Butcher did what The Butcher does, and that's, you know, be big and intimidating. It was a good matchup against Trent Beretta, who was the brawn. And Orange Cassidy, who is the speed. Butcher got a few good licks and a few good backbreakers on Orange Cassidy that made me like wince, you know. And kudos to Orange Cassidy he just continues to just, his selling is ridiculously good, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like the way he contorts his body to make that sell, it's really good. It was a very entertaining, very good first match. So
yeah, and you know, Trent and Orange, they pick up the victory here, which is very nice. And even though Orange Cassidy is no longer a champion, we are still booking him strongly. Again, I want more Kip Sabian on my television.
Yeah.
Then we get into probably my favorite promo so far this evening. a fired up Ruby Soho is asked, you know, how she is doing after she and Cool Hand Ange got attacked by Saraya and Zack Knight. Ruby was standing on business this evening because, you know, she starts off worried and she talks about how Cool Hand Ange might have a couple torn ligaments. You know, it's going to be a little bit of a recovery process. And then she flips the switch because then she calls out Saraya. She berates her. She calls her vile, calls her toxic. And then she proceeds to call her whole entire family inbred. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. I applause to Ruby and Saraya for their mic work. I am so ecstatic with how good Ruby Soho has gotten in her promo spots. You know, because like previously, when the Outcasts were together, you know, they're as a group, their promos were pretty like bleh. You know, like I remember there have been more than a few reviews that we've done that we did back last year when the Outcasts were all together, where like they did promo spots and we were just like, what was that? You know, and it's because we know that these ladies can do better. And Ruby has just unbelievable. Such good acting, such good selling, you know. Yeah, and then when she got fired up and she called Saraya's family inbred, yeah, that was good. I am still hooked in the storyline.
I will defend this statement for as long as I need to until the cows come home, but me and Adolfo have a unique perspective on the AEW product because of the fact that we are the only two that really watch Rampage on a weekly basis and do the review for it. I'm going to flat out say it, and we're slowly kind of winning the other Viconics boys over, that Rampage has had probably one of the better women's booking and storylines that we've got, because we have Ruby versus the Outcast 2.0. But Rampage is also the origin of this whole Chris, Willow, Julia, and Sky,
you know,
business that we got going on too.
Yep.
And so, honestly, outside of that, the rest of the shows are having a difficult time booking our women.
Yep.
Though I will say the build for Tony and Deonna leading into Revolution was probably the best that the women have been booked for a long time.
Outside of Rampage and ROH, yeah.
But outside of that, Rampage has had the most consistent and probably some of my favorite women's storylines in AEW. And Ruby is not done with Saraya, so I'm hoping this does lead to matches between her and Saraya, her and Harley Cameron, whatever that's going to look like.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would love to see these two be at Dynasty or even on Zero Hour for Dynasty. I would like Ruby to get a pay-per-view match.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like we said, I think it was last week, you know, let this lead up to intergender match, you know, where you do have Kuha and Ange and Ruby against Saraya and Zach, you know. I want to talk about this real quick, or lob this question out. You know, when the Outcasts were together, right? Again, their spots were like meh. Now that they've broken up individually, you know, Timeless Toni Storm is killing it. Ruby is killing it. Saraya is killing it. So like what happened? You know, why did they not show this theatricism, this dynamic? Why didn't they have this dynamic when they were the Outcasts?
You know, that is a very excellent and a very good question. I think there was a couple of things too, because if we recall, when these three were a faction with Saraya, Ruby, and Tony, they weren't necessarily being booked very well. And at that time, well, I mean, nothing fundamentally has changed, because the women are always getting the tough bits when it comes to the booking and everything. But as I recall, they weren't being utilized, and they were also in the midst of a very weird feud with Jamie Hayter and Dr. Britt Baker through this whole thing. And then Jamie got hurt, which resulted in her getting the beat down at Double or Nothing last year, which then, you know, Tony got the title, and then Britt was inserted into this. And then a lot of it was just all over the place booking, because then you also had Chris come back from injury. Jade was still running with the TBS championship. Mm-hmm. They were in transition, because with Jamie being out on injury, they needed to figure out how they were going to do this. And even though I love Tony winning that title from Jamie at Double or Nothing, it was a very lackluster first run, because we didn't really have any strong women's, you know, challengers for Tony. And then, you know,
or they didn't build anyone up.
They didn't build anyone up, and they really weren't building up the Outcasts as like a formidable faction either, because even though Tony was champion, they would constantly be losing their matches that they found themselves in. And I don't know if they figured out what to do with them, if they hired new writers, or if, I don't know, maybe the women have more input in how the stories are going. But I really like where we're going with Ruby and Saraya right now. Yeah. And you bring up an interesting point. It's fascinating to look at all this, because just not even a year ago, the Outcasts weren't necessarily being taken seriously. And now this has become my favorite storyline so far in AEW. Right.
Yeah, and you got one member of the Outcasts who is arguably one of the current biggest stars in AEW and Timeless, Toni Storm, and the other two are in a super engaging story. You know, the only reason I feel that they are not out there more is because their storyline is on Rampage, and Rampage is kind of like the, you know, the other wrestling TV show, you know, but like, you know, the storyline that they're running with is Dynamite quality. Dare I say it's WWE Raw SmackDown quality. You know what I mean? Like it's really engaging. You have great buildup. And when they do collide, you have two great wrestlers that are going to go at it. So that's my 2 pesos.
I love it. So we leave Ruby for now, because we're going to get the other half of this promo later in the evening. But we move on to our TBS championship match, where we have our champion, Julia Hart, the matriarch mistress of the House of Black, taking on one of our personal favorites of Ring of Honor. And Jesse, I apologize for what's about to happen, but it is Julia Hart taking on Robin Renegade. And
who do you think was going to lose?
God. Yeah, I was just like, Jesse, if you watch this review, I want to first and foremost apologize to you, because you are a Renegade Twins super fan since getting to see them in Ring of Honor. But yeah, we knew what this was. We knew where it was going. It's to continue to get Julia to get some wins and to, you know, get her wrestling in the ring, since she's been out for at least a month or two due to an undisclosed injury. It was what it was. I was entertained, but I knew what was going to happen.
It was a totally entertaining match. It was the house rule of no maneuvers off the top rope. That was very interesting. When I heard that, my first thought was, are they doing that as a story beat, or are they doing that because Julia is still not 100% to do her moonsault finisher off the top rope?
Right.
So I And yes, you know, now that I've watched, been watching a lot of ROH, you know, and I've seen Robin Renegade in action, you know, it is frustrating when I see her up in an AEW show, because you know that she's going to eat the pin, but she's a great wrestler, you know. And this was a very good solid match. I felt that this match showed how far Julia has come, because she had a bunch of great spots, like the German suplex that she did. That was a pretty German suplex. Holy cow, you know. And the fact that she picked up the win with a submission hold, just kind of, to me, shows that she can come at you from any angle. You know, she can pin you from doing super crazy loop de loop up the top rope. She can pin you down, or she can beat you by getting you down on the mat. You know, so, which as a champion is an important thing. You know,
it is, and again, solid match. I knew what was going to happen with it, but overall, it's nice to see Julia. And it is interesting that you brought up that maybe she's not all the way 100% yet to do the moonsault. But then again, we saw her at Revolution do the moonsault in the match.
Right.
So which I'm wondering maybe if they're taking extra protocol, because remember, during that 0 hour match, it looked like when she got spiked down to the mat and landed on her head, she didn't look too good for a couple minutes. So maybe they're just making sure that there's no lingering effects from getting spiked on her head.
Yep. Yeah. That I feel that might be it, that she, you know, she was cleared for Revolution, but then from that spot in Revolution, you know,
she was out of it for a few minutes.
Yep. Yeah. That's
so they wanted to, but thankfully she's okay. She seems to be recovered from that. So it's very scary when we witness someone getting spiked on their head in one of these matches. But speaking of people being spiked on their head, okay. So this next backstage segment was a tale of two things. There was the first half I really enjoyed, and then the second half is what I had an issue with. So let's start with the good. So Renee is backstage and she's like doing her thing. She's like, you know, we heard from Ruby, I'm gonna try to get a word in. And then from the back, we hear Saraya like screaming in hysterics. And she's like, oh, okay, so you're gonna get Ruby's side, but not mine. And then she kicks Renee off the screen. She's like, get out of here. You know what? Yep. Leave right now.
We're done.
So I loved it. And then I loved it even more because Saraya's like, oh, Ruby is just like, you just thought that was the start of this. It's like, you're going to call my family inbred. It's like, you know what? I'm coming after you. I'm going to make your life miserable. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, yes, this is great. And then everyone turns to leave. And we have some like random people in the background. I was like, okay, that's cool. And so Saraya just like goes up to one of them and yells at them. And then we get into the part that I didn't like. So the interaction here is that this random person in the background who's holding a drink gets it smacked out of his hand. The drink lands on Zack Knight.
Yep.
Saraya is just like, you just got it all over my brother. And so Zack steps up. So like, okay, here we go. Then we get the nonsense that was the not even coherent, like, garble screams, like, calm down, Cujo. Like, he was literally a pit bull here. And I was just like, there at one point, I thought I saw spit coming out from his mouth. I'm like, is this how we're presenting Zack Knight? Oh, no. He ended up decimating the person. Saraya's like, no, don't do that. And then he's like, no, I'm just kidding, do it. And then she proceeds to decimate, which I thought was funny. But we're presenting Zack as a meathead. And I was like, no. I was like, don't do this to me. We don't need another wrestler to be a meathead. Ah, I get he's British. I get he's big. I get he has a lot of muscles. But I know he has a brain in there. And you presented him in, you have been presenting him in Ring of Honor as a fun individual who has a sense of humor and a good wrestler.
Yeah.
No, not this meat. I hate the meathead trope. Adolfo is the one wrestling trope I hate so much.
I don't understand why they opted to do such a in extreme 180 with Zach. You know, he's like you said, from seeing him on ROH, you know that he can do good character work. So why are you just going to reduce him down to this meathead, this slobbering like pit bull? Number one. Number two, throughout my years of watching wrestling, I don't like talkers. I like showers, right? So I would, if you want to make him out to be this, you know, slobbering beast, okay, fine. But don't do it on, you know, random jobber wrestler that you called up for the night. Put him in the ring. Let people see his ferocity in the ring, and so that he can back that up, you know, because like if you haven't seen him on any other of the promotions, if you haven't seen him on ROH, he's just dude that came in leather and is, you know, barking and slobbering, you know. So I felt like it was a very missed opportunity. You're right, the first half was great. Even Harley Cameron's little like quick at the end little bit was great. It's just that the meat quite literally in the middle was meh.
Now, I'm still willing to give this a little bit of grace, because if they can, if when we continue with this story, if they can redeem themselves and present Zack Knight in a better way, then I'll be like, okay, it was just a one-time thing where it was kind of like, oh, this wasn't necessarily executed very well, then I'd be fine. But if this is going to be how he acts the whole entire time, where he's just slobbering all over the place, I'm just like, we did so well in Ring of Honor. And But I am excited, though, because I do like Zack Knight, and the little bit that we've seen of him in Ring of Honor, I think he has a fine balance of being a big bruiser, but also being actually a good technician too, which is what we've seen him presented as in the three matches that we've gotten with him so far in Ring of Honor. I am excited. I am going to continue to be invested in this story, but let's try to present Zach in a better light, because I wanna be supporting him so much.
Yeah.
So from here, we get our next match, and this is my personal match of the night. This sees Penta El Cero Miedo taking on Action Andretti. And this was my match of the night, because it had everything. It had good wrestling. It had speed. Both of them were flying in and over and on top of things all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
This also had my moves of the night. Action Andretti like jumping over Penta to the top rope to do a poison Rana, which looked devastating. Penta doing Penta things all over the place. This was my match of the night. I was like, oh, Penta, I have missed you on television so much.
Yep. Yeah, this was my match of the night as well. I say this week in and week out, every time Penta's on, you know, I love watching Penta work, and matching him up with Action was great. The size difference between the two, holy cow, Action made Penta look like he was a 7-foot giant. It was ridiculous. But yeah, it was, you know, it was great action, great storytelling in there. It was a great match. I would have much rather had this the match of the night, the main event, than the actual main event that we got.
Yeah, I was like, I felt like if we swapped what we got for the main event for this, I'm like, I could, you know, be giving this a higher grade. I still enjoyed this Rampage, but yeah. Well, I mean, we're already there, so this Penta in Action had my match of the night, which then leads us into our main event. So this is So I don't know if a certain other company owns the rights to the word triple threat, because if you're not watching wrestling and the way that they phrase this match, you might think of something else. And I was just like, listen, I know that wrestling is all about the and the horniness of everything, but I was like, we need to calm down. But I'm talking about a match, so listen, audience, don't take this out of context. But in our main event, this is a three-way match. tag team match. And as I say those words, I just realize how bad it sounds out of context. But this was a triple threat between Private Party, again, not helping the cause, the Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith, and Commander, which I was like, we're still pairing them up together, which I'm not against, but I need some reasoning as to why.
Why?
And then taking on Top Flight, so Darius and Dante Martin.
A.K.A. Action Andretti and Action Andretti and Action Andretti. I'll explain later.
I was just like, I don't want to say they are the same, but inherently because they're
twins. They're like
clones. Triplets. I feel like it's a lot. So I'll start with the things I liked. So I liked Private Party's entrance as always. We seen Cheesecake letting them in, which was fantastic. Shout out to Cheesecake. I also really love that Isaiah Cassidy gave the kid the do-rag and then was like, psych.
Yep.
And I love the kid was taking it in stride. I was just like, you go, kid. I was like, that you're my type of fan. I was just like, you didn't cry. You didn't get upset. He was just happy to be involved. I was like, fantastic. We also got an Isaiah Cassidy scream, which is always a bonus for me. Now, with all that being said, that was the best part of this whole entire match, because this, to me, I enjoyed parts of it, but I also felt that there are bits of it this where it's kind of clunky.
Yep.
I thought Top Flight were great as usual. They are a tag team. Private Party did great because they're an actual tag team. But I am invoking our host, Andrew, our resident tag team expert, when I say, as much as I like Brian Keith and Commander individually, we got to stop throwing people together in tag teams.
But yeah.
And soon as I saw the card, I was like, I know which team is taking the pin in this match, and it makes me upset. Mm-hmm. Penta got the win, but then we had to balance it out because Commander took the pin in this one.
Yeah, you know, man. And to make it worse, you know, Commander and Bounty Hunter Brian Keith, they both came in wearing the fucking the serapes, you know, almost like matching serapes. Like if we're gonna make them a tag team, let's make them a tag team. But like,
AEW shop, if you make those serapes for sale, I will definitely buy one. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, just saying. But and you know, Mikey, you had said when Bounty Hunter Brian Keith became All Elite, you were hoping that he would come out with like the wanted posters, you know, the bounty posters and stuff like that. Which since he's come to AEW, he hasn't done, which I feel for the character would be a great addition. In the ring for this match, they just seemed like the oddball out. It seemed like this was a Private Party Top Flight match with Commander and Brian Keith kind of sort of sprinkled in there. Which, you know, at the beginning of the review, when I looked on paper and saw the matches, I was like, haven't we seen some of these matches before? Like, you know, if we're going to make Private Party and Top Flight duking it out here, let's do it like you've been, you know, doing everyone else that's duking it out, you know, one team picks up the win. Then like a month later, the other team picks up the next swing and win. And then we have a rubber match and what have you. Like, I just feel like Top Flight and Private Party, that them two dueling it out has just kind of been like crammed down our throats almost, you know? And like, they try to like put different frosting on it to like hide the cake, but it's still the same cake, you know? Cause, you know, Private Party and Top Flight were in the six man and Revolution, weren't they?
Private Party was, because they were part of that 12-man, because it was Private Party, Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, and Willie Mack of all people.
Okay. All right. I could have sworn. But I mean, we have seen Private Party and Top Flight go at it before. So, you know, not saying that their matches aren't good. Their matches are great. But if we're going to have a Top Flight Private Party match, let's have a Top Flight Private Party match.
I'm still trying to figure out, like, I thought, you know, because both teams are, what, 1-1 at this point? You would think by now we would have had our third rubber match, and I don't know what they're doing, what AEW is waiting on to do so. I mean, I like Private Party, and I like Top Flight, and I've liked the matches we've gotten with them so far. Yep. But this felt very weird. I feel like you could have just had removed Brian Keith, removed Commander from this, and just let this be the rubber match for Rampage.
Yep.
You know, same time, but it's less chaotic. And yeah, Commander and Brian Keith, I love them both individually, but they didn't need to be in this match. But obviously AEW didn't want Private Party to get pinned yet. So therefore we made this a triple threat. And once again, the Luchador gets pinned. What happened to AEW? We were doing so well.
We were doing so good. We were doing so good. So you know what? It's all right. Cause Penta got the win in the match previous, so you know, I guess
that's fair.
Yeah, I just hope the tag team tournament for the vacated tag team belts is going to be starting, I think, this upcoming week. I hope that even if Top Flight and Private Party don't make it to the finals for the belt, if they meet in this tournament, that they bring it, you know, and don't let them get lost in the shuffle. Cause you know, not to be spoilery, but on Collision, FTR said that they're throwing their hats into, for the tag team championship. And I'm sure a lot of the other, you know, like the Bullet Club is probably going to be coming back for that tag team championship. You know, there's going to be a lot of big names coming for that tag team championship. Who knows? Maybe BCC might be coming in for that tag team championship, but do not let Top Flight and Private Party get buried in this tournament. You know, give them the spotlight that they're due. You know, like they did in the Continental Classic, you know, where you, like, on paper, you would look at some matches and be like, meh. But then when they, you know, when they got in the ring, that the matches were great.
Yeah, I just hope that, I agree with you, Private Party and Top Flight, I don't want them to get lost in the shuffle. I would like to talk about, spoiler alert, what happened in Collision, but we're going to wait until we record that review to go more in depth about it. But it's not a spoiler. We are getting a tournament to see who's going to become new tag champs since Darby and Sting vacated the titles. But yeah, I thought that if we had taken Brian Keith and Commander out of this match, I think this would have been better.
Yeah,
because it felt like an afterthought and there was no need to put Brian Keith and Commander in here outside of we need someone to get pinned to not let Top Flight or Private Party be the quote unquote losers of this match.
Yeah. So, or I would have switched it up and had, you know, for Brian Keith and Commander going up against Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta, and then have the Butcher in there, because that's something else that, you know, there was a lot of speedy flippy dippy doo, which I love. But it would have been nice to have one, like a big meat pie in there to like catch someone as they jump and just like power slam the crap out of them, you know, just to spice it up.
Yeah, actually, I think that I would have liked that better had we swapped Brian Keith and Commander with Kip Sabian and the Butcher, because We had a lot of high flyers in our main event, yeah. but it would have been a nice foil to have Butcher be your powerhouse.
Have the Mogul Embassy tag team in there.
Gates of Agony, too.
Yeah, Gates of Agony. Saw,
again, spoiler alert, Gates of Agony might be involved in something else in Collision, but we'll talk about that during the Collision review. But Adolfo, that brings us to the end of Rampage for this week. So now we got to rate this thing out of 10 empanadas. So, Adolfo, for the Friday, March 8th, 2024 rendition of Rampage, what do you give this out of a scale of 10 empanadas?
Yeah, it's a 7 out of 10. Homemade ham and cheese, you know, nothing spectacular, but it's that warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum that I like, you know. It was an entertaining Rampage. All of the backstage spots knew what they had to be. They went, they did the thing, and they went on, you know. And as a show, it felt nice and cohesive.
That it did. I'm going to agree with you. I'm also going to give this a 7 out of 10. I think all the backstage stuff needed to do. They did the things that it needed it to. I thought the matches were enjoyable. Overall, I enjoyed this Rampage. Not necessarily my favorite, but it was pretty enjoyable nonetheless. And I think my favorite thing, of course, is that we're adding an extra layer to Ruby and Saraya's feud, which is really nice to see. But Adolfo, this does bring us to the end. So we got to do some housekeeping real quick, and then we got to get up on out of here. Yep. So if you enjoyed this particular review, you can check out all the other types of reviews here. We pretty much have no life and cover every single major wrestling promotion between AEW, WWE, Ring of Honor, and TNA. It's a lot of wrestling, but it's a lot of good stuff. And we have some really fun co-hosts to do each of those reviews. And on top of that, we also review almost every single pay-per-view from said companies,
too. Yeah, we do.
So stay tuned, because the TNA boys are going to be coming up very soon to review the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view, which was a lot of fun. And I can't wait to talk about that with Andrew and Will. But if you can't commit to watching our beautiful vases on the YouTube channel, you can check out the clips we have on social medias, where you can follow us at BC WrestlePod. Or as an alternative, you can let our voices carry you through the day, because we have audio versions of all our reviews. So there is no excuse for you not to listen to us ramble about wrestling. Just kidding. We love you and supporting us regardless. Speaking of supporting us, we love what we do here, and we've gotten pretty good at the way that we do our videos. But we're always looking for ways to improve, and unfortunately, that does require some monetary gain. So if you want to support us monetarily, you can A, become a Patreon subscriber, where you can get exclusive, never-before-seen videos like our watch-along. They're chaotic AF, you guys. It is nuts.
Yeah, like, especially when my kids are on screen. Oh, God.
It is so fantastic. Do you want to see me and Andrew scream like little girls during the Royal Rumble when Jordynne Grace made a surprise appearance, even though she is in TNA? Do you want to see the AEW boys like yell and scream at their television screens during the Ospreay and Takeshita match while also complaining about Taz's commentary?
Yep. Do you want to see how my ribs turned out that I was smoking prior to Revolution?
Yes. That's all the meaty sauce in the beard. It was so fantastic. They look so good, too. It's fantastic. But you can become a Patreon subscriber to get those access. Or better yet, if you click on the Next Level link embedded into the description, you can head on over to the Next Level app, where we also now have a Venmo and a PayPal, too. There are multiple ways you can support the cause. Support the cause, because we want to do great things. And of course, last but certainly not least, you see us virtually. But if you want to see us in person, some of the Biconic boys are going to be at the New Jersey WrestleCon Saturday, May 18th, Sunday, May 19th. We're going to have a table there. We're going to be selling merch. We want to see you guys come out and have a conversation. We would love to meet you, talk about wrestling, and also ask you, why do you not leave us comments in our videos? It's so lonely here sometimes. Also, Billy Starks and Queen Naminata, you better get ready, because I will be getting autographs from you.
Also,
ready. Mama Wayne, we love you too. We love everyone that's going to be there. I'm super excited. It's going to be fun to get the East Coast boys and some of the West Coast boys out there.
Abaddon, get ready.
Yes.
You got
Abaddon.
Some
screaming,
you got some screaming fangirls in the BC squad that's coming.
Yes, Abaddon, we love you so much, and I cannot wait. It's going to be a fun time. Yeah. Me and Adolfo are going to get up on out of here because we also got things to prepare for the next few days, which is going to be a lot of fun. But for myself, Adolfo, and the rest of the Biconics boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, stay true to you and be Biconic. All you guys, gals, non-binary pals, he, she, theys, and of course, all the gays of the internet. We will see you for the next Rampage review. But until then, ta-ta for now.
Billy Stark's outro.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.